Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on the issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
So welcome to today's episode of New Cyber Frontier. Today we're going to get a little bit of an update from a group that we've had on before from Cyber USA. We're bringing on David Powell, who is the CEO of the Federal Business Council and the Vice Chair for Cyber USA, and Phil Bond, who is the Executive Director of Cyber USA and a former Undersecretary of Commerce for Technology. So welcome today, guys, and thanks for joining.
Pleasure to be with you. Thanks for having us today.
All right. So, David, I know you've been on before, but we want to, you know, kind of give an update on where we're at now, because there's been some great changes here with Cyber USA moving in a lot of directions. We were talking before we started here about all the new things you have coming on, and very exciting. But I'll let both of you first give a background on who you are and how you came to be involved with Cyber USA. I'll let you start, David, and you can then introduce or pass the baton to Phil.
Thank you, Chris, and thanks for having us back to give you a quick update on some of the great things that are happening across the country with us here in our project with Cyber USA. It's been very encouraging to see the growth of this idea. Phil?
Yeah, let me pick it up from there, because, Chris, I think the evolution here has been from Cyber Maryland and five or six states that really were designed as clones of that very successful program, where they brought government and academics and private sector together to look at cyber economic development, cyber workforce development, cyber innovation. We then faced the question of how do we build out beyond that to reach other states and communities across the country and really build a community of communities, folks focused on cybersecurity. And that's where I drew on my background, as you mentioned, as Undersecretary of Commerce for Technology, a position I held for 4 years, and then later running the largest technology advocacy group in Washington, D.C., Tech America. Because in those experiences, I had learned that there were vibrant tech communities in almost all 50 states, and some of the big states, multiple communities, and they all had effectively and understandably begun to focus on cybersecurity, because securing information in the information age is fundamental to both economic security and national security. So when we had six or seven Cyber Maryland type organizations and we were looking to expand, the answer became, let's go to the existing communities that already are there with a model that entices them to join our community of communities. And so that's what we've done in the intervening 7 months since we announced at Cyber Maryland at the end of October last year the formation of Cyber USA. We had seven state communities on board with us at the launch, and since then have added a dozen more all across the country, in some cases even helping community get up on its feet and get started, all in response to this idea that people are realizing that local communities, communities of trust, are critically important, but they have to be linked to one another to solve this national problem, as David alluded to. And so today we are sitting at 19 and knocking on the door of a few other communities across the country to really build this network out and begin to fulfill that national need that David talked about, where we can help people understand the very best ideas around the country on workforce development, the very best ideas around the country on innovation development, and as a result, really both build their economies and begin to build our national security.
Okay. Well, let's take a break real quick. We'll be back after we hear from our sponsors.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
So welcome back to New Cyber Frontier. We're talking to David Powell and Phil Bond from Cyber USA. Before the break, you told us about how this started, what came together, the start of what, almost a year ago when we talked last, from Cyber Maryland, was announced that Cyber USA was going to encompass all the states, bringing them in together. And you said you had a framework for pulling in new organizations, 19 states now. I'm curious about this framework. Explain to me how, when a new organization engages, you say, hey, here's the framework for coming on board, for helping you identify with what we're doing and building a cyber community. Explain that framework.
I'll do that for you, Chris. So Phil mentioned in the last segment that we are uniting communities. So we're creating a community of communities. And where this starts to happen is at the trust level, which is at the local level. People that know one another and trust one another communicate, and they tend to have ways of communicating that they rely on and work with regularly. We take those communication methodologies or those groups, and we connect them together. We knit them together using system of communication that we have at the national level. We join members across the country to this national level through either emails, through lists, through a variety of mechanisms. We basically sign them on to our national system through their local system. We tie them together to this to the national system, number one, through a communications network, and number two, through a threat intelligence platform called TruStar that we work with today. And that allows us to do threat intelligence sharing. We'll talk a little bit more about that in another segment, I'm sure. But that provides us a different level of communication that allows us to share threat incident information and information about breaches or situational awareness or any type of cyber information that will be of importance to members in dealing with threat situations. Phil, did you have any information on our communications infrastructure?
Just a little bit. When we reach out to organizations, existing local organizations already coordinated and built around cybersecurity, we come to them and say, basically, if you affiliate with us, we will give you some national programming. What's happening on Capitol Hill? What's happening at the Department of Homeland Security? What's happening with some of the major players in the industry and some new products or new offerings that they're coming out? We'll give all of that to you for free. We also will give you a threat sharing platform with two free seats for every company involved in your community, every academic group involved in your community, so that we can begin sharing threats and incidents locally. But that will tie in technologically to our national feed. So if you have a threat in Colorado and nobody in your community has seen this threat yet, you can check and see if they've seen it in Massachusetts or South Carolina or California or Texas. Mm-hmm. So when we come to organizations, we say that's what we'll give you. We will give you at no charge content and a threat sharing platform book for both local and national use. All we ask in return is that when we send you content, you share that content with your members, because we want to be able to be a single network, a one-stop shop for the Department of Homeland Security or for the chairman of the Homeland Security Committees, that they know when they go to Cyber USA, they will talk to all of these local communities and networks in one fell swoop. And with that kind of value proposition, the associations have said, sure, this enhances my position in the market, gives me national content I probably can't get on my own, and it gives us the threat sharing platform that my members are already asking for.
Yeah. And I remember, I think, David, you showed me some, you keep track of what all companies in each organization, member companies are, and make some heat maps so people can actually get cross-referenced then with other people and other companies that they might need in case of cyber, either events, emergencies, or even just to reach out and find some services.
Yeah, so there's a marketplace functionality that comes into play. So once a marketplace is established within a geography or within a region, as needs begin to present themselves, then the solution set starts to emerge as well. So a marketplace begins to emerge to help solve the problems that are presented. Once people become aware of the type of threats that are out there through threat sharing and threat intelligence, and the cyber IQ begins to raise, the solution sets tend to become in higher demand, mm-hmm. and that tends to actually increase the demand for cyber solutions in a marketplace, and the functionality for the marketplace is actually then that's built into this functionality as well. So we can then create service provider, a marketplace for service providers as well, and provide services for the threats that are being seen within a geography as well. So there are a lot of other things that begin to happen once a region becomes more aware of the threat level that they're seeing in the geography. But that it all starts with communicating and becoming aware of the threat within a geography, and that starts with organizing the community around the trust network that already exists.
So in the real world, how this might play out, Chris, is a small company might be looking at their shared incident platform and say, gosh, I don't really see a lot of people in the community who have the problem I just got hit with. But then maybe a larger company in that area says, oh, we recognize that. And by the way, within our local state or community, here's a company that sells the solution for that exact issue. And so we dramatically reduce the time to mitigation, which, as you know, today averages something like 270 days between finding an incident and mitigating an incident, just incredibly long. If we can shorten that, we will save the country literally billions and billions of dollars, save commerce, save jobs.
Okay. Well, let's take a break real quick again here and hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Over 3 million data breaches happen every single day. That's over 2,000 records being compromised every minute. So often, we focus on securing web data access. But what if the attackers are already inside, having gained direct access to your storage through data management software? When it comes to communications that go directly into your storage devices, make SNIA your first line of protection. SNIA's conformance testing limits outdated communications that are known to be used by attackers. It works continuously behind the background to make sure your storage is protected. To find out if your data is truly secure, visit our website at www.snia.org/cybertest.
All right, welcome back. We're talking to Cyber USA again here, and David and Phil. And before the break, we were talking about what you guys do for the community and the members involved, what type of services you offer, what type of information sharing. If I'm a member organization or coming in as a new cyber for a state organization, what is my commitment? What type of, how many hours am I going to have people commit to? How much time is going to be spent? Just what is involved on the other side, the individual organization's standpoint?
Well, let me take a first stab. This is Phil, and then I'm sure David will add value to that. We want it to be a really light lift, and that's exactly what it's designed to be. So we want the local communities to keep doing what they're doing, focused on what they already are focused on. And as they create some programs for their local members, we then add the network effect. So we may take some of the very best programs from around the country and share them with the rest of the network. So no new work, no new hour commitment, but we're going to share those outstanding programs with others in the network. Then we also will send them content and availabilities for different programs, which they didn't have to spend any time on. We'll do that on our end. And so the lift should be very, very light with once you get past the onboarding to get folks into the threat sharing platform. It becomes very light for the local communities, a force multiplier for them so that their value proposition increases.
And I'll add to that, Phil. One other thing that we bring to the table is if there is an organization that is interested in underwriting or being a part of standing up a cyber state organization, and really they are a collection of organizations within a state or a group that's interested in standing it up, we have the roadmap or a methodology for helping them get to that quickly. So the best practices in doing that or helping that happen quickly, it's a couple of page document. We'll send it out, and that has a step-by-step procedural methodology for helping your organization get to completion very quickly and very efficiently. So we'll help you get there and show you how it's been done in the past so you can make it happen and show you what it takes to get there.
Okay, say I'm an organization wanting to reach out to you. We're representing a state that we don't hear in the list. We've got to go through what states you have involved. How connected do I have to be to the state that I'm in? Is this an independent thing? Or are we going to build it once we set up the initial connection? Or are you looking for those organizations that are already entwined with certain aspects within the state?
Yeah, that's actually a very good question, Chris. And we've experienced all the scenarios. In some states, we're working with traditionally state-led organizations where it's a public-private partnership and the governor's office is the champion, if you will, of the effort, and it's led by the governor's office. In other states, it is a pure private sector organization that is leading the charge and leading the state's initiative, so to speak, and the governor's office is not involved. But in most cases, it is a coalition of individual organizations that come together and work together for the good of the state or the region to align and create a coalition to create the cyber state program.
Okay.
Might have more to add on that, but yeah, we do have a mix of all over the map, all of the above, Chris.
Okay. Phil, did you have some thoughts on that one?
Well, no, I mean, ideally, and I think it's true in most of the more populous states, you've got existing communities that we really want to plug into so that we can have that network effect rapidly. In some of the states, some of the smaller states in particular, that just hasn't been the case yet. They're very small and disparate communities. And in those cases, we do see governor's offices very often stepping in and wanting to lead so we can help them put those pieces together, as David explained.
Okay. So what states, can we list who's already involved and who we might need, or did you have more there, David?
I did have one quick comment. I mean, the National Governors Association has stepped up, and they are recently now providing some leadership. They have created some thought on and some leadership on cyber in the latest National Governors Association meeting, and actually Governor McAuliffe and now Governor Sandoval have committed to creating cyber organizations and information sharing initiatives across states and within states. So we should see some additional cooperation from state governments, and hopefully we can dovetail this initiative with the efforts that have been outlined by the Governors Association and the governors themselves. And I think that would be a natural fit between the efforts that they are putting together and that we've already started and gotten a great head start on. So we'd like to see that. I think it's a natural, and we could bring that together very, very quickly and very efficiently.
Okay. So what states are on the map? Give us a list of who's in, who's out, who are we looking for?
You bet. Let me dive in on that. When we launched, we had 7. Maryland, of course, where we announced, Colorado, Massachusetts, Texas, California, South Carolina, and Louisiana. Since then, we've added a dozen more and are in talks with others beyond that. We helped stand up a group in Hawaii. We've got groups now in Utah, Idaho, New Mexico, added North Carolina, Nevada, Oregon, Rhode Island, Montana, Virginia, Missouri. I think I covered them all, Georgia also. So a lot of conversations, other outreach in a number of other states. So at 19 and counting and on the way up.
Okay, so if you didn't hear your state called and you are in a cyber organization or you're looking at forming one or university groups, something that's already coordinating or somebody would like to, how would they reach out to you to kind of get the process rolling?
The easiest way is just to go to cyberusa.us website, where there is a button to request more information and reach out to us. I think is probably the easiest way, cyberusa.us. David, other channels of communication?
Way. I think that would be the most effective way, and that way you can also learn more about the organization and the initiative, and that might answer some questions as well, and then connect in, and we can get back to you, or someone will get back to you right away.
Okay. So is there an annual meeting? Do you guys have a once a year conference you're putting together? Is that in the plan if you don't?
There is, actually. So on January 30th of 2018, we're going to host the first annual meeting in San Antonio, the first annual meeting of CyberUSA, and it will be a gathering of all of the cyber states, mm-hmm. as well as a variety of other individuals, but there will be a delegation from each cyber state that will be there. We'll have a number of national speakers there, and also the learnings from the first year of the CyberUSA threat intelligence platform and the cyber state best practices. So it should be a very interesting meeting, and there will be more information on that on the cyberusa.us website very soon. And everyone is cordially invited to join us, including yourself, Chris.
Okay, well, I think that's something I'll have to add to my calendar since it's the first I've heard of it. So mostly focused on threat intelligence.
Can I add one?
Sure, go ahead.
First of all, it'll be much more of a national gathering if you are there. But secondly, I just returned from Australia talking to cyber interests down there. And now that the U.S. is the biggest market in cybersecurity, the U.S. is putting its network together. We've had outreach from Australia, Israel, U.K., Singapore, other national cyber programs wanting to connect to CyberUSA. So this first annual meeting will probably be international in scope.
Are you looking for that type of, are you looking to pull in those at this time, or are we mostly focusing on internal?
Well, we're very focused on
cyber
across the country.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead, David.
No, go ahead, Phil. You're probably going to say the same thing. You go ahead.
Yeah. We're very focused on building out across the states, but the network effect is true globally as well as locally, and I think there is much more power for everybody to have a global community of communities ultimately. And this, the U.S. is just the 800-pound gorilla in that equation. So people want to come and see what we've got going on here.
Okay, David, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I think that's exactly it. And ultimately, cyber is a global issue. There are no borders when it comes to cybersecurity, and we want to make sure that we have a solid understanding of what's happening, and we have awareness of what's happening around the world, and that we're able to provide that level of insight to CyberUSA members and CyberUSA participants, especially in terms of threat intelligence mm-hmm. and communication of best practices.
Yeah. So I heard you started to say that you had at the annual conference you'd have some updates on what you've seen in the first year of your threat intelligence platforms. Can you give us a sneak peek on what that might be? What are your findings?
Yeah, so if you think about it this way, if you look at the ISACs and the ISALs and the vertical, vertically aligned information sharing or threat sharing programs, they tend to, they're excellent, they're effective at what they do. Not all companies, or let's just say there are companies in the small and medium enterprise category that may not be seeing that level of threat intelligence, and CyberUSA is designed to really address that gap, to cover that gap, and we are going to hopefully be able to take a look at the threat intelligence that is hitting small and medium enterprise across the country in a horizontal framework, horizontal view, and share that from a trends point of view, and see how that looks from a cross section of the country for small and medium enterprise, and then see what trends we can start to identify, track, and share with the participants, and see what kind of insight we can learn from. And of course, the theory is, it may be different than what we see, or it may not be, but let's at least find out what it is, and what do we have to learn from what we have seen in the first year. Yeah. There are a lot of new members coming on board. There are a lot of new people that are new to threat intelligence, and there are a lot of new people that are becoming aware of risk and risk analysis. What is it that we're learning? And we want to share that with all of the members. And then we want the members themselves, each cyber state affiliate, to share with each other. So, what is working in terms of workforce development in Honolulu that we can learn from in Baltimore? What's working in Northern Virginia that we can learn from in Las Vegas? So there are some things that I think in terms of cross-pollination that will really pay off for the affiliate participants, and that's not happening now. We're not sharing best practices in a way that I think will benefit one another, and that we will hope to solve at this with this program. Phil, did you have anything that you're thinking of?
No, I think you hit everything I could possibly have said.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, that's been great talking to you guys.
I do have one more thing, Chris. I do have one more thing. There are a few other value-added content type of things. We do have some national-level content that will be shared at the National Congress in San Antonio that will be provided to the affiliate members that are there, and the delegations that will be brand new content that will be available only to CyberUSA affiliate members that are there, that will be, I think, extremely valuable too. So all said, it's the value of the content will be new. It won't be things that people have seen before, and it will be synthesized from the participants themselves. So by virtue of the group itself and the critical mass of the Cyber USA, we're able to learn something, and that is actually what we're going to present at the conference itself. There you go.
Oh, awesome. And that's kind of what I was going to ask there. Any last things that you wanted to get out that we might have missed or you thought about as we were talking? For about your organization, about people you want to engage, about who might benefit from reaching out to you and how they could engage?
If you are interested, go to cyberusa.us. You can get in touch with us there. We have spent the first year building capacity, and that is really doing outreach, finding organizations out there. As Phil always says, if you're a technology community in this day and age, you are a cyber community in this day and age. So if you are out there and you'd like to become a node of Cyber USA, it's very easy to do that. We can help you do that very quickly and very easily. And just contact us and we can make that happen very quickly and give you a lot of tools to help your community get on board and get very connected very quickly. And that's really all I have to add. We'd love to have you on board. This is a great program. It's becoming very popular, and we're looking forward to more.
Just one real quickly, which is we've talked a lot about Cyber USA providing content kind of from the national scene out to folks who may not be able to get that kind of content on their own. But the inverse is true, too. So we would be a network where issues can bubble up. If you're not hearing people in the national scene talk about something that's afflicting your community, through the network, you can let us know that, and we can go get the national advisors to the president and so forth to answer those kind of local issues. So not top down, but grassroots up.
Okay. Well, thank you both for joining today, and it's been a pleasure, and we look forward to hearing more from Cyber USA. The views or opinions expressed by me during this podcast are my own and are not those of my employer, Colorado Technical University.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.